Starting running a business is obviously a full-time job. There's lots to work on, lots to think about. But how often do we think right at the outset about the values we want to have within our company? The values we want all of our employees and ourselves to abide by as we navigate through the day-to-day world? Well, our next guest is going to talk to us about ethics and compliance and these various things. It's a fascinating conversation. Sit back. Welcome to Shift. Today, we've got Susan Divers, Director of Thought Leadership and Best Practices with LRN. Susan, how are you today?
I'm great. It's really a pleasure to be with you on Shift today.
And it's great to have you. When I started reading your bio and talking about ethics and all this, I want to get a background in LRN, but I just think this is such a timely topic with all of the work that's going on with machine learning, machine intelligence, artificial intelligence, and the need to be ethical when designing those databases. Now, I hope I'm not putting you on the spot, but it seems to me that this would be on the continuum.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, just look at what just happened in crypto. It was the Wild West. And then you had Sam Bankman-Fried, you know, on the one hand claiming to be doing all this wonderful ESG, you know, good stuff. And meanwhile, he was wasting, squandering, throwing people's money around and losing it. So you want to make sure you get it right at the start. And the right way to think about ethics, to me at least, is it's the same as building in a good firewall or a good financial system if you're starting out. The sooner you do it, the better, because then you avoid a lot of the pitfalls and the traps that companies can fall into.
Now, tell me a little bit about LRN. Let's go backwards now, and the group you work with, LRN. What does it stand for? What do you guys do?
Sure. So I joined LRN 7 years ago when I flunked retirement. I had been the chief ethics and compliance officer. I'm serious. I really flunked retirement. I had reorganized the spice drawer 3 times in 1 month, which was probably healthy. So I had been the chief ethics and compliance officer at 2 companies and had started their programs. And what drew me to LRN is we are a learning company. We have an online platform, which now has incredible data analytics capability, and as well as a huge library of compliance courses. But it's also a place that's committed to thought leadership and looking at what's the best way to go about this? This is not an intuitive area. It's not an easy area. And if you get it wrong, it can be catastrophic.
Right.
So I think that's a really good area to focus on.
So these tools that you offer at LRN, they're tools that entrepreneurs, researchers can then access to help them develop and build in those quote-unquote firewalls.
And meaning a firewall such as an ethics and compliance system from the beginning, so that you understand what your values are and you train people. We're principally a training company, so we do a lot of thought leadership and people can find it all on our website. But our usual customer is an organization, small, big. We work with startups, we work with midsize, and we work with some of the biggest companies in the world, like Apple. And we help them plan as needed, like a whole curriculum, so that they're mitigating risks as they do their business. And if you think about it, a firewall is all about mitigating risk your business. And I think it's time that people saw ethics and compliance as part of that fundamental infrastructure.
Now, when you're talking about ethics and stuff, and earlier on we had mentioned AI and machine learning and all that, are there learning modules that will help people as they're building data sets, how to be more inclusive? Does it include that sort of thing, or is it?
No, we don't get that granular, to be honest. If somebody asked us to develop that, we would, but ours is more you know, fundamental principles with DEI, which, as we all know, is a really big issue. Fundamental issues with, you know, topics like conflicts of interest, complying with international sanctions, which right now is a huge challenge for startups, little size, big size, you name it, complying with anti-bribery. And when I was a chief ethics and compliance officer, it struck me how people didn't know those areas. I mean, I lived in it every day, but explaining why a conflict of interest can really cause a huge problem, both for the individual and the company, was important. Explaining why giving, you know, very expensive gifts to foreign officials was generally not a good idea. And, you know, explaining why you need to know who your customer is, because no matter what size you are, if you work with a sanctioned entity or a Russian oligarch third tier company based in the Caymans, you can be in big, big, big trouble. So it's that type of nuts and bolts, you know, but with a heavy emphasis too on values. And, you know, we don't believe there's a rule for every occasion, but we do believe there's a value for every occasion.
Oh, I love that. That's a great way of looking at it.
It's actually not original, but man, one of my friends who was a chief ethics and compliance officer years ago said that, and it just encapsulates the whole concept.
Yeah, no, that's going to stick with me for sure as well. So tell me a little bit about what attendees of InVentures this year can expect to learn from your session. Now, the session's titled Business Ethics, What's Your Plan? And it's June 1st at 9:15 a.m. So when people come and they hear you speak, Susan, what do you give us a brief summary beyond what we just spoke about, but what can they expect to take away?
Sure. Well, I love the title of the session because what's your plan? And again, I think in the past, and I've been doing this for a long, long time now, over 30 years, people thought of ethics and compliance as something either fluffy or something you did once a year. And, you know, it was kind of hidden off usually in some obscure corner of the legal department where no one went if they had any sense. And
a checkbox activity.
Yeah, checkbox. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And what the last 10 years, if not more, have taught us is that doesn't work. You can have all the rules you want, but they're not self-executing. And anybody that's ever had teenagers knows that. I mean, think about it. And so what does work is having a shared sense of values. And we worked with a startup a couple of years ago, and they did a bunch. I mean, there were only 25 people. That was, I guess, big by a startup. But they did a series of focus groups where they really said, what are our values? How do we want to be in the world? And how do we want to treat each other? And it was incredibly valuable. And then they came up with sort of, we called it a good citizenship guide. And it was three pages, but everybody that came to the company had to read it and agree to abide by it. And it was all principles based. So, you know, that's what makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then you can look at everything that you do through that prism of of those values. That's very interesting. Okay, so people they'll get that. What else are you gonna bring? Are there any books or anything like that? I'm not sure.
Yeah, we do an annual report. Okay. We call it the Program Effectiveness Report. And it's been going on at least 10 years, I think 15. I only came 7 years ago and took it over. But it looks at what is effective in this area, because you mentioned checklists. Well, 10 years ago, everybody was crazy for checklists. And, you know, when they reported on their ethics and compliance to the board, they said, we train 3,000 people. Well, did any of it stick? Or did they understand what you were saying? You know, we reinvented our code. Yeah. But does anybody read it? You know, and we did other things. Other activities, you know, we held an ethics day, but did anybody come? So the focus has shifted away from that kind of checklist mentality to this much more values-driven and much more impactful way of looking at ethics and compliance. And like for big companies, being able to look at how employees are interacting with ethics and compliance. And, you know, are they asking questions? Are they reporting problems? Are they getting the right answers when they do? And is there retaliation? That has to do with your culture. And that's what really determines whether you're going to behave in an ethical and compliant manner. Somebody once said, culture is what happens when no one's looking. And again, that's a great way to think about it. And rules don't make culture. I mean, a lot of times you're faced with situations that don't neatly fit into the rules, or you can do something that isn't per se illegal, but is it something you want to do? And a good example is what you started out with, like the algorithms in a lot of the AI. There's no law, but
right.
Is that really a good thing?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. That's a great way of bringing it back around. And I'm excited because there's a lot of work that's going on here in Alberta with ethics and you know, how we think about these issues. And I'm excited to, you know, to meet you and to be able to, you know, introduce you to some of the people that are working on those things at Alberta Innovates and in Alberta. And I think you're going to really enjoy meeting people in the ecosystem. And I know people are going to enjoy your session because to me, this is like, I'd spoken to, we've had some previous guests and we're speaking about resilience. We're speaking about working with, doing more with fewer people. We're speaking about the future of work, you know, this hybrid model where you have some people working at home, other people working in the office. This is like that values. It's built upon that resilience and all those other things, that integrity of how do you build that business so it's successful in the long run.
And actually, our research shows that if you get the values right, that seems to really sustain and build resilience. I mean, it makes sense when you think about it. And it also usually results in a much more committed and creative workforce because people feel that they can raise ideas. They can raise questions like, are we sure that's the right way to do it? That, you know, a lot of that's in our annual program effectiveness report, which you have a copy of, but, you know, that's
come along.
All right. We will.
No, I think it's going to be a great conversation and, we're looking forward to it. And Susan, thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate
it. It was absolutely my pleasure. And I look forward to meeting you in person and some of your colleagues too.
Shift can be found online at shift.albertainnovates.ca, or you can reach us via email at shift@albertainnovates.ca. We can also be found on your favorite streaming service, so dive in and enjoy. Until next time, I'm John.